residents, thank you, Mr. Richards. there have been plans in place for many years now to refurbish and to restore that, and also to build a new community facility at the rear. Now that became somewhat complicated with changes of council, and the project has gone back and forward many times. And this project is really dependent upon a Lotteries West grant for $375,000 that's going to assist us to fund that work. The time on that grant is really running out. I think we've already asked for an extension, have we? So we were on a really tight timeline if we were going to be able to deliver this project, and we wanted to because we had a heritage building that we're responsible for the maintenance and the upkeep of, not just from a financial perspective, but also from the history of our town, for the value that it adds. But we were also in a situation where we had some priorities that the community had clearly expressed, and one of them was around the infant health clinic and how, in its current form, it is not fit for purpose. And we're sending mothers, fathers with their newborn babies to this facility that is just not adequate. It's tiny, it's old, people have to sit on the floor, there's no spaces for people to change their babies. So we were faced with a situation where we had a project that we had ready to fund, that the money was going to run out of very soon, and a high priority that had been raised by the community where we didn't have somewhere to house it. So the opportunity came up, and we've had discussions with all the key stakeholders who were part of this project, so the Bassendean Historical Society, the WA Historical Society, Heritage Council, yes, and what's the other one I'm missing? There's a fourth one. The National Trust, thank you. So the groups that had been involved in the project up until the point where the infant health clinic proposal was raised. Yes, ideally it would have been ideal if we could have consulted with the community more about that change of use. But if we wanted to achieve this outcome for the community, it meant that we had to go ahead without having that discussion because the timeframes had been imposed on us that we had no control over. Mr. Grogan, I know you disagree, but... No, Mr. Grogan, I'm speaking. Mr. Grogan, I'm speaking. You're welcome to come and speak in a moment if you wish. So at this point in time, what has been agreed by all of those parties and by council is that we will proceed with the refurbishment and the restoration so that we will end up being able to maintain that important building, but we will also deliver a new facility at the back. And at least for now, the plan is to house the infant health clinic in the rear of the building. As I mentioned earlier, it will also have a larger community space that can be used for all sorts of other purposes. So we've talked about things like playgroups and people being able to hire it for birthday parties or workshops, all sorts of things. And the front of the building will remain with a primary purpose for historical interpretation, not just of the local area, but of the state more broadly. So that's how we've arrived at the decision. It's been an extremely complicated project, and I know that this council really grappled with what to do with this. It wasn't a decision that was made easily, and I know the staff who have been involved in this project for over 10 years now, they've invested a lot of time in trying to get this delivered. If we did not make a decision about the purpose that that building was going to be used for, we were in jeopardy of losing the grant funding. Equally, it's one thing for us to say that the community didn't have a lot of consultation around whether it was going to be used as an infant health clinic, but I would argue that prior to that decision being made, that the majority of people in our community weren't aware that there was this proposal at all, and that the proposed use for it to be more of a interpretive centre as its larger focus, that people weren't aware of that either. And we had concerns about that as a council, that there had not been communication and consultation around that plan prior to any of us being involved in this project or on council. So I agree with you that ideally the consultation would have been more extensive, but we just did not have the luxury of that in this particular instance because of the 10-year history of this project. Mr. Puel?
Just a couple of questions. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the council on the new initiatives of the proposed child care centre. When I was on council, I opposed the expenditure of $1 million for a purpose that would have been limited in its use. So to find a good purpose and also to reclaim the funds which were being jeopardised, I would say to all of you, and I made a commitment to Sarah that I would camp on the doorstep until we got a new childcare centre. So this is my way of supporting, and well done, councillors. Second question is the Ficus Hillii at Ashfield. Have we...
Do you mean the ones along Guildford Road?
The three that were going to be cut down by main roads. Mm-hmm. Have we reversed that decision?
So there's been a number of steps in that process. So Mr. Puhle's referring to a number of ficus trees along Guildford Road near the Ashfield train station that Main Roads identified some time back as needing removal in order to accommodate a barrier to protect the overpass in case a car veered off the road and took out one of the supports. And also to create a barrier so that cars exiting off Coulston Road couldn't access the train line. So council and the community were concerned about this because obviously those trees are a really important part of Bassendean. And through the process, Main Roads got a very clear message that the community and the council were not supportive of the removal. To their credit, they had some good discussions with us, and eventually we got to speak to the right people who were able to be a bit more creative, and they proposed some different solutions to what had originally been planned. And that was all very promising because the solutions that they were looking at would allow us to keep the trees. That's the last time this matter has come to council, but I do believe that there have been some further discussions and that that option wasn't actually suitable for that site, and I'm not sure if there's been any further progress since then.
I had some further discussions with Main Roads just before Christmas, mm-hmm. and they've indicated that looking at another suitable option that would still retain the trees but still have some type of protection there.
Yeah. Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. And I would just encourage councillors to keep on top of it and keep our trees.
We will. Yes.
Max Vinning, Helena Street, Guildford.
Did you say Max, did you?
Max, yes. Just a question to the council. I'm just wanting to know, as a youth member, how the council wishes to more politically engage and motivate the young citizens of the community?
That's a really, really good question. And I think what we were speaking earlier about the community engagement framework, one of the things that we want to make sure that we do is that we capture the whole community. And one of the groups that probably hasn't been as well represented has been the youth. Equally, some of our culturally and linguistically diverse people, our Aboriginal people, they're all going to be areas that we want to focus on. We have Greg Neri, who's our youth... I can never say your title, Greg. I'm sorry, the Manager of Youth Services here. And I know that he's really passionate about making sure that that area of that section of our community is engaged. At this point in time, we're still at the very preliminary stage of developing that framework, but it's definitely something that I commit to you that we will focus on going forward.
Are there any intended initiatives or ideas in the council to motivate the youth at the present stage?
Oh, gee, you're putting me on the spot now.
Or is it just a bit too early for those?
Yeah, we haven't really had those discussions, but it's not because we don't want to, it's just that we haven't yet sat down and specifically spoken about that. I'm sure, again, Greg has some ideas. If you've got ideas, I'd love to hear them because we're really open to it and because we want to reach people. So thanks for asking the question. And if you're interested, please come and have a conversation so that we can make sure that we do effectively connect with people who are in the youth category.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Wood.
Tony Wood, 12A Nursted Avenue, Bassendean. Two questions on the Infant Health Centre. The $375,000 that you keep referring to from the Lotteries Commission, is that the total cost of the building, including architects' fees, fit-outs and everything?
No, so that's the amount that Lotteries West has committed to contributing to the project. So do we have an overall costing at this point with the current plans?
No, we're currently, because we're now revising the detailed drawings, and part of that design, that review process includes engaging a quantity surveyor to look at the prices. The last time that the quantity surveyor was involved was 2006, and it was somewhere in the vicinity of $980,000 or so dollars. So we're not sure where that sits now, but we're anticipating receiving that quantity surveying information sometime in the near future.
Yeah, that was my understanding. And that's where Mr. Puhle's reference came to about, you know, spending. He used the term $1 million, but the 980 is what we'd previously been.
$1 million in 2006, 13 years ago.
Yep.
So it could be about
2016, sorry.
2016.
Sorry, 16.
Right. And, of course, it is far more expensive doing that building than rebuilding the existing building, because you've got to take in all the heritage considerations.
Yes, that's previously been considered as part of in the 2016 assessment.
I know, and you were going to send me details,
The changes to the community space where the infant health clinic is being provided is quite minimal. The actual footprint of the building hasn't changed. It's just the internal layout of the community space, which is going to make it functional for that demographic of children using the space and parents.
There were a number of features as well that...
I accept that answer. It's $1 million. It's a lot of money. Can I ask my second question?
Yes, you may.
Right. I asked you a question previously at which the new CEO was at the meeting and sitting in front of me. She wasn't appointed yet, etc. The infant health centre is going to run 5 days a week. You're speaking about play groups in the infant health centre. You're speaking about hiring a venue out for parties at night time, etc. Anyone who lives next to a property like that, they're going to lose their property values. I asked you a few months ago, would you get a proper valuation and see what the impact on the property values were, and would you pay the adjoining owners next to that infant health centre compensation for their loss of value?
I think the response that I gave to you at the time was that the assumption that it was going to cause a loss in property values was, we weren't sure what that was based on. The adjoining properties have been consulted about the development when the initial plans were proposed, and even at that time the proposal might not have included the infant health clinic, but it was a plan to have, as I said, an interpretive space plus a community centre that would have been used for arts groups and so on. So even though the purpose has shifted slightly so that it now incorporates the infant health clinic, it doesn't significantly change the number of people that would be using that space.
So in other words, the answer is no, you will not appoint a valuer to find out whether your gut feel
That's
is
not
right.
our intention at this point, no.
No, you won't appoint a valuer, so therefore you won't pay compensation. You're just destroying some ratepayers for you. I don't think you're doing a good job.
Any further questions? Thank you. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, this gentleman and then you. Sorry. We're happy to wait.
Madam Mayor, good evening. My name's Graham Lever. I'm resident at Railway Parade. I've got a request for council and then a question subsequent to that. Throughout the year, at various times, I obviously live opposite the War Memorial, and there's numerous occasions when the flag is left raised at night but is not lit. So I'd like to request council to take that quite seriously and either raise and lower the flag at dawn and dusk as appropriate, or ensure that it's lit at all times during the evening.
Thank you for raising that. I wasn't aware of that, and I'm sure the staff have taken notice.
Yes, you're quite right. I mean, if it's illuminated, the flag can remain in place. I wasn't aware of when that hasn't been illuminated, but I'll certainly follow it up with the rangers to ensure that if there's any problems with the lighting, that the flag is removed.
Thank you.
I was pleased to note, wandering over here this evening, that it's the lights are functioning tonight. But
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Over the last 12 or 18 months, in limited discussion with council regarding laneways, I understand that there was a review of laneways and where council is going to go with that. Is there any update you might offer on the findings of that?
So there has been some discussion about needing to look at the laneways. There hasn't been a review done at this point in time. Mr. Reid, would you be the person to comment on?
There's been no serious progress in terms of the review of the rights of ways. There's probably, I don't know, something like 25 rights of ways within the town. It is one of the projects that council will consider in terms of priorities going forward. And I suppose my advice is, originally this was going to be done by consultants as part of the scheme review, the work that now Tony Dowling is now doing. It had a cost, I think, of around $40,000 to $60,000 to complete the study. I probably foolishly said we could do this in-house. We are struggling to get to it, so I suppose that's one of the choices that council need to make, in either doing it over a much longer time frame or outsourcing it to get it done more quickly.
All right, thank you. I'll look forward to that. Just personally, my interest in that is some of the residents penchant for claiming the right of way as their own, mm-hmm. and sticking fences across it and what have you. So if you look between First and Second Avenue, you'll see that there's a heck of a lot of residents who have claimed it as their own, and I'd like to have them reinstated as a public right of way as per intent.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Ms. Jacobson, sorry to miss you earlier. Nonnie Jacobson's Barton Parade, Bassendean. I've just make a comment that I think it's great that this council has resolved to engage a urban forest officer. I think that's only going to help, because at the moment we've just been going backwards with our urban forest in this town, with the infill developments and so on, and losing a lot of mature trees. And I'd just like to agree with Anne about the rats situation. They definitely do love palm fruit, and they will climb the trees and eat it out of the trees and off the ground. So yeah, she's absolutely right about that. And the other thing you can do if you have a rat problem is to turn off outdoor lighting at night time, because predators can't actually have an advantage over rodents when they need that darkness to hunt you. Are you able to hear at the back what Ms. Jackson was saying?
Oh, okay.
She did also say that that rats are attracted to the light at night, so you can turn off your outdoor lights and that may help. Interesting. Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
This is very simple questions. Just in regards to non-irrigated parklands and verge mowing, I'm just wondering if the height of the mower cut could please be set significantly higher, ideally in unirrigated parkland, at least 80 mil, and I'll give some background. Longer grass suppresses weeds, slows water in events of heavy rain and so on, and avoids erosion, reduces soil temperatures by as much as 12 degrees over bare sand, given our urban heat island effect and part of the urban forest thing. And, temperatures, when you start to get 67 degrees on the sand, kill soil microbes and obviously have killed all the lawn. Mm. And reduces soil evaporation and therefore hopefully keeps some of the grass alive. And in long dry spells like we are having, like we're now having, all we have is dead hot sand. So like around Bindarring Park, when it rains again, all that will happen is the sand will just wash into the wetlands, drains and rivers, and the first thing that will grow again will of course be the pioneer species, which people love to call weeds, and then the next thing that will happen is that some people will want to go and spray the weeds, and so the simple solution is don't cut the lawn soap.
Just before you go on.
Second part of that.
Mr. Johnson, just a sec. Can I just ask, is that something that we can look at with our contractors?
It's not
staff?
A contractor.
Potentially could be our staff.
Yeah. He's very efficient. So it
depends on the mowing deck. So we can look at because they're right on mowers. So we'll look at the mowing deck to see how high we can potentially raise it. So I'll certainly follow that up tomorrow with the park supervisor.
And I'm not talking about playing fields.
The dry parks. Yes, yeah. That's right.
And as a second part to that, in areas that around at least, say, 50 metres from a water body, and preferably from drains that go into the rivers, but that's probably asking a bit much. Can we start using a catcher to avoid the excess nutrients entering our waterways and creating algal blooms?
That could be a little bit problematic in regards to trying to do that with the type of rider mowers that we have, but it's something that potentially could occur. But it's just we don't have any budget to have catchers at this stage, so it's again something we'd need to look at in regards to the design of the rider mowers that we have.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is actually just in. As a member of the Design Bessendean Working Group, looking at our strategic plan, were we going to be informed that we've actually, just thinking about communication and community consultation, were we going to be informed that we have consultants who are actually going to be doing the same thing as our working group was part of?
It's a really good question because, as you know, I'm also part of that group. And just this week I thought, we haven't met with the Design Basso people
yeah,
for a while.
No email.
But it's only just been in the last week that I keep wanting to call you connected community. Creating communities have been a point. No, but it's a good point. It's a good point because you know, we've had the community members giving really valuable input into the process so far, but a lot of the discussion has ended up at a point where we've said all of this is good, but unless we've gone to the community and spoken to them about what they want, then there's no good proceeding any further. So that's when Peter came on board, we had those discussions, and that has led to us prioritising this project. But we still want you, Moss. Don't disappear. Is there anybody else first before Mr. Bridges asks again? Mr. Kay?
Thank you, Your Worship. Bruce Kay, 11 Earls Ferry Court, Bessendean. My question relates to the LPS 10 scheme amendment, and I was one of those who lobbied council at the time to adopt a three-year program to complete the amendment, which included appointing a strategic planner to do it, and that was adopted by council resolution in May 2016. So I'm looking for the amendment to be completed in May 2019. Yet there's been some comment on the website now saying that council's considering obtaining a facility somewhere on Old Perth Road where a display is going to be put up for the public to see, and that's not going to happen until October, according to that information. The second thing about that is council hasn't been brave enough, may I say, to pick one scheme, but has nominated two schemes to come back to the people. So it sounds to me like we have just blown 3 years. We've done some work in between, traffic studies and forecasts and stuff, which is all good, but we haven't gone anywhere. So my challenge to you, Mayor, and the Council, I believe you should have selected one scheme that you thought was the best to put it forward for consultation. The consultation would have done little tweaking, and we would have got there.
So just to clarify, when you say one scheme, you're talking about those density scenarios?
Density scenarios, yeah. Because for years we all worked along the fact that we were going to do things around the railway stations and density along the railway line. A lot of people came to accept that was a reasonable place for it to occur because of the railway and so on. Yeah. And now it's into other areas, and I'm sure there's some people who have strong opinions about some of those things.
I'll invite Peter to speak to your question in a moment, but I'd just like to make a couple of comments first. I don't disagree with you. There was a plan to deliver the scheme amendment, so a new local planning scheme, in a three-year timeframe, and you're right, that won't be completed in the anticipated timeframe. Your point about putting out the density scenarios, there had been work done on various density scenarios that could accommodate the infill target that the state government had proposed for the town of Bessendean. So the state government's requiring us to have an additional 4,150 dwellings as part of their Perth and Peel at 3.5 million by the year 2050. So the town had done some work on developing various scenarios about how we could accommodate that increased population within the town. But it came back to needing the community to own the vision. And there are people like yourself who are very engaged, who understand a lot about planning, who appreciate the complexities and the need to have higher density around our town centres and so on. But I think that's not representative of where the majority of our community are at. And if we learn anything from the LandCorp, whatever you want to call it, debacle, it was that we needed the community to understand what we were doing and be on board with it and to have had a say in that process. So you are correct. We could have put out three density scenarios, asked the community to have their say, and the majority of people probably wouldn't have been interested because it was a very dry topic. It didn't allow people to understand what that actually represented. And ultimately, we may have ended up in the same situation that we were in a few years ago, where all of a sudden the community were very upset because all of these changes were going to be happening around them that they didn't understand. So it is unfortunate that the timing has been pushed out. I don't disagree with that. But I think ultimately we'll get a much better outcome if we just slow down a little bit, have the opportunity to, you know, embrace the expertise that people at creating communities are bringing to us and get the community really to be involved, empowered and deliver a vision that all of us can own. Did you want to say anything?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Kay. How are you? Nice to see you. The shop front on Old Perth Road, I think, was something that you mentioned, and it was a proposal that went up as part of the community engagement strategy that we were proposing, I think, late last year. So essentially we talked about going out and getting a quote from a number of suppliers. We've selected creating communities. Now, part of that strategy was to create a bit of a community hub, so somewhere where the community could actually come and have a conversation about the type of community they would like to see in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Yes, some of that's about density, but it's also about amenity, it's about the environment, you know, it's so much more. And also for people to be able to visually see what that might look like is really important. So we talked about creating a point that's accessible for everybody to come in, have a conversation. We'd have councillors available that could talk to community members. Creating communities would be available, and our staff as well. So that was part of the strategy. I guess I arrived, and I think my second day was a council meeting when the density scenarios were being put up. And it just seemed like an opportunity to rethink what that conversation might look like with the community. Do we want to go out and start talking about R codes, or do we actually want to have a conversation that was more about, you know, what is it the sort of community you would like to see in the next 5, 10, 15 years? So that's why I guess there's been a bit of a shift. I'm happy to say that I've sort of been part of that. So. But there has been some fantastic work that's gone on in the background around transport study, design guidelines, etc., that will contribute to this work that we'll be doing over the next few months. And I hope by October we have a really strong vision for what we want this future town to be. And I actually think this stage it might seem like we're going slow, but I think it's going to enable us to go fast beyond October. To finalise the local planning strategy scheme, etc.
Thanks, Peter, for that. I've known from my professional life, I know creating communities, and I believe them to be very good. I don't have any doubt they'll achieve what they're setting out to do. But they won't achieve anything if council doesn't decide something for them to achieve. I can go back to 2008. Councillors have been worried about activation in Old Perth Road. In 2008, we had a scheme that was almost adopted by council for Old Perth Road and the city centre, and it was carefully done by Hame Sharley. In my opinion, it was a pretty good effort. It disappeared. 10 years later, we're now going to spend another 12 months. I think council doesn't remember that it comes back to land use and land use zonings. So people along Old Perth Road aren't going to invest money in anything unless the land use is reasonably certain for them in a commercial sense. There are a lot of old folk in our community who own land all around the community who would potentially benefit by an increase in their asset value if the higher densities were through certain areas. Mm-hmm. So I think council in not acting is actually shorting a lot of residents out of some asset particularly the older people who want the asset to either move on to other care or do whatever they want to do with it. So I've got to, again, urge council to make some decisions and keep the pedal on the metal. Otherwise, we'll be here in 12 months' time going nowhere. And I know that after the consultation, council has to adopt it and it has to go to the WAPC for sign-off and a whole process there. So all that takes time. The original three-year program had those timeframes all in it. So all I can do is express my dissatisfaction that, again, we're becoming the town that does nothing. As a retired civil engineer, can I just make a few comments to Carol Seidel's comments about flood risk? Sure. A lot of people don't understand flood risk and how it's derived. The old 1 in 100 risk came out of a flood in Brisbane in 1972, where there was a big debate amongst insurers about what was a storm. And so the insurer said, we'll accept a 1% risk. So everyone sat down and did analysis everywhere to try and work out what was a 1% risk. The design book is rewritten 2 or 3 years ago with a lot more rainfall data, so it's a lot better document and produces a lot better outcomes. And it's not called the average recurrence interval anymore, it's called annual exceedance probability. So a 1% would come out as a 1% annual exceedance probability. It doesn't mean that it will never be exceeded. In fact, it could be exceeded a couple of times a year if the weather changed. So it is a reasonable risk between insurance and building things. So there will always be floods that will always flood places. And hopefully the new flood heights are going to be put in, I'm told, to the correct levels, the new correct level. So thank you, Yoel.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful. Mr. Bridges and then Mr. Yates. And then is there anybody else who wishes to ask a question first? Okay.
Sorry, Paul Bridges, 150 West Road. My question relates to the closure of the 4A scheme, and I moved a motion on council that that be proceeded with. I totally understand the reason why this council's deferred that, because there are there's a couple of million dollars worth of purchases that need to be made. That's a two-part question. My first one is related to the land swap with Mr. Jeff Herbert, who has since deceased in the time that this has taken to occur. The land for the swap has been prepared, and my question is, can I have a status report on the land swap, please?
Most of the, I suppose, the earthworks and the retaining wall has been done. We're now in the process of getting the subdivision clearance. And I think as part of that process, we're required to put another electricity supply into the adjoining lot. So realistically, that process, the subdivision, the land should be created and fit and ready for swapping within about two and a half months' time.
So by the conclusion of this financial year?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, the second part of my question, and this should be of interest to councillors, the land which was swapped with Mr. Herbert for the newly created lot is zoned as residential land. I do notice in the plans that Mr. Dowling draws up that he always has it green as public open space. There's a motion that sits on the books for council that land can be sold to anyone that can provide access off Watson Street. Now, there's a family called the Kopenskys that own two lots that front onto Watson Street, and behind them, they own two long blocks within the 4A scheme that the town is obliged to purchase. Now, my understanding is that the Henry Kopensky wrote to council, and councillors may not know about this, in May of last year, offering to swap their two long legs of land for the Herbert land, which is immediately adjacent to the little parcel that they own. they can provide access off Watson Street. And if that lands, if once the Herbert land swap's done and council owns Mr. Herbert deceased's block, then there is no reason why that land swap can't go ahead and save the council probably $1 million by doing a straight swap for their two long legs and giving them a larger usable parcel of land which they can provide access to. Now, my question is, has this council been informed of the offer by Mr. Kopensky to do that land swap? And if not, why not?
My hazy recollection is that the former CEO was certainly aware of the proposed land swap, and I think the mayor was advised of it as well. I have written to Mr. Kopensky and basically said that I would support a proposal for a land swap once that land, once 27 Highland Street is within our ownership. We don't own it until that land swap is finished, and my support as an officer for the land swap has been based on the land being of equivalent value and us owning the land. But until the town owns the land, we could not really affect a land swap with the Kopenskys.
Yeah. Mr. Kopensky showed me a copy of the letter that he wrote and your response, and in that response you indicated that the land swap should be concluded within 3 months. Now, we've well and truly exceeded that. Has there been any communication with Mr. Kopensky?
There's been no further communication with Mr. Kopensky at this stage.
That concludes my questions.
Thank you. Mr. Yates.
Don Yates, 10 Thompson Road, Success Hill. I think one of the issues that has come out tonight is this idea of trust. Because as people like Bruce Kay and others have mentioned, we have not had the education department planning, let alone building, planning any more classrooms in Bassendane for almost a decade. Now, that is a blight against the council for not engaging with to get the planning into place. I know of at least two residents in Bassendane who gave up or didn't replace their hot water system because they thought, like Mr. Bruce Kay was talking about, that things would happen within 3 years. One particular gentleman put up with no hot water for 18 months, two winters. He eventually died. This is the sort of thing that this council, by sitting on your thumbs, has not done. The community just has no, is losing trust in this council, in this administration, day by day. 6 months ago, I asked a couple of questions of staff. One, how many car parking bays are there at the shopping centre on site stroke off street? Mr. Reid, would you like to give me an answer? Even approximate.
I believe I've answered that question previously.
No, how many, please?
Mr. Yates, what point are you trying to make?
He spoke of 450 car parking bays in July, August last year. Mm-hmm. There's 310. This town has been dudded because we don't have the Bassendean Activity Centre in place. We've been dudded more than 400 car parking bays. And according to Transport, the replacement price per car parking bay is $45,000 each. So this town has been dudded something like $20 million because you guys don't know what you're doing. Another question again of Mr. Haygart.
Last question, Mr. Yates.
Mr. Haygart, that in the DAP decision to do with the Bassendean Shopping Centre, the town community was going to benefit $380,000. We know of February 2018, the town never received $1 of that 2% benefit. Where did the $380,000 go?
That is probably a question that needs to be directed to me.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't answer it this evening. I understand that I have previously advised you. you've sought advice from the Minister's office that has given you a similar response, but I'll take that question on notice.
I would think you'd need to answer that within
Mr.
7
Yates.
Days because the question was raised with
Mr.
you
Yates,
last
me.
August and you haven't given an answer. You've denied the community $380,000 worth of 2%.
Mr. Reid has given you his assurance that he will follow it up
well,
for you.
Well, you know,
Mr.
I
Yates,
had the same assurance back in July last year.
As Mr. Reid said,
and
he's given
one final question,
no,
and
Yates,
I'm going to sit down.
Mr.
Simon Stewart Dawkins, how wide is the main ramp at the shopping centre?
Mr. Yates,
is it 7 metres wide or more?
Mr. Yates, we've had these conversations many times over the last few years, and you're not happy with the answers you've been given. The answers aren't going to change, so we're just going to have to agree to disagree. I know these are things that you're passionate about, but the staff can't change the answers that they have to give you. That's the information that they have available. You may disagree, but that is the information that we have to provide. So I'm sorry that you're not satisfied with that.
The community has little and decreasing trust in this council, in this staff, when they don't know what
Mr.
should
Yates,
be under the Australian standard,
no,
the width of the
Mr.
main
Yates,
ramp. It should be 11 metres,
please don't
not
speak
seven.
Over me. I would just like to reinforce that you need to speak on your own behalf and not on behalf of the entire community. Thank you.
I live here and lived here for 20 years. I use the ramp to the main shopping centre quite regularly.
Mr. Yates,
to suggest
thank you.
That I don't live here and am not a community member, I find that disappointing.
No, I didn't suggest that at all. I suggested that you are losing trust, but I don't believe that's true of everybody.
No, I think the community is disappointed and losing trust in the council and the staff who don't know what they're doing.
Hey, dude, you're not speaking for me, mate.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Thank you, Mrs. Mack. All right. Are there any further questions that people would like to ask?
I would.
Mr. Yates, the town has given a lot of time to your questions that you've already submitted. There were over 8 pages of questions that you submitted. You will have answers provided, but I think we need to give the opportunity for the meeting to continue. There are others who would like to maybe propose a motion or maybe go home for the night. So thank you, but that we're going to leave it there for this evening. As part of the meetings, there's also an opportunity at these sessions if members of the public have a proposal or a motion that they'd like to put to the room, that we open that opportunity up for you. If there is anybody that would like to propose something tonight, you have the opportunity to come and speak to that motion, and then if there's somebody who would support that, it can be opened up for a vote from the room. What happens with those motions is that then council will consider them at their next council meeting. It can be frustrating sometimes because at times there's a motion that's proposed by the room that's supported, but then once council's provided with the additional information to put it in the context of how it would impact, you know, the broader community, those things don't always follow through to direct action. But what we can guarantee is that if there are proposals that people want to put forward, that we will seriously consider them and see how we can make them work. So is there anybody that had a proposal that they wanted to put to the meeting this evening? Is that a no?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in that case, I just want to thank you all again for being here tonight and for your contribution. It's been lovely meeting some new people, and hopefully you'll be part of the exciting things we have planned. Just before you leave, I just also wanted to make an announcement. One of our long-term staff members, Mr. Michael Costrello, who's been the Director of Corporate Services for 11 years, has resigned. So we're going to be looking for a replacement for Mike as soon as we have had a review of that role. But I just want to formally thank Mike for his service to the town. It's, you know, 11 years is a long time to commit to the town, and just want to wish him all the best for his future. So thank you, everybody, and I'll close the meeting at 9 o'clock on the dot. Thank you very much.
Yeah.